Okay, so welcome everyone. I'm joined by Gene, and I'm joined by the whole of the Buxton UK. We are recording here in the Malt House in Birmingham. Thank you for the Malt House for having us. Very good hosts. We'll show you some later, including a very good Stars and Stripes cake. We're here to watch the Rams game, but by the time you guys at home are watching this, the Rams game will have happened. So we're not going to talk about the Rams game, but we're going to talk about everything else. But first of all, Gene, buck what you heard. Tell us a little bit about how it all started, and make sure, so after this, how can people listen to you?
Oh, yeah. My name is Gene. You can reach me at Buck What You Heard. You follow me, I'll follow you back on Twitter. I'm on YouTube, Buck What You Heard. And actually, it was so funny. I called into a radio station, a local station in Tampa, and I had some commentary about an upcoming game, and the host hung up on me. And I was like, this is crazy. So I started paying a little bit more attention, and people aren't getting an opportunity to say what they wanted to say. It's local, it's a local sports. And, you know, normally you would think that the newscasters would pay more attention to the fans. And it was like, well, they're not really doing it. They're more focused on themselves. So I came up with Buck What You Heard because I want people, regardless of what team you're on, safe space on my show. You can get into messages. You could even get on the show if you can get a hold of me. I'll get you on. I want people to be able to, you know, you've invested so much of your time in your team. You should be able to have a voice as well. And I just, you know, I don't think that we've really seen that in the local Tampa market. So just being able to do that part for myself and, you know, get people to, you know, chime in. And this is such a cool community with Bucks fans because it's a labor of love. You go from Super Bowl champions to struggling to playing decent to struggling to here we are. So it is just like ebbs and flows. And, you know, you have to be hardcore to be a Bucks fan. So I appreciate everybody. And, you know, I've got a lot of love from UK Bucks, and I appreciate all you guys as well. So thank you.
And it's obviously fantastic to have you. We know we're going to be meeting up in Munich next week. What made you make a detour to the UK first?
Well, there was a wedding, but you know, me and my wife Rachel, we've always done trips, and because you know our daughter is here in Birmingham, she right soil. You know, we've been able to make this a destination every year to at least come and see her. With COVID, I know that was a problem, but we're back in business, and you'll probably see us here next year. So I you know, again, I feel like part of your family. I feel like, you know, you guys are part of my family as well. I always get somebody from the UK that chimes in the chat when I'm live. And, you know, I appreciate you guys. I appreciate your insight. And you guys have such, I like your thought process on the game itself. It's not so much emotional. It's more, this is what's going on. And I've noticed as I've gotten more into UK or European football or however you want to call it, football, it's more of, this is what's going on. It's not so much emotional, but it makes sense. So I really appreciate your insight on a lot of things that you've commented on as well.
And so you landed yesterday?
Yeah.
So unfortunately, you're going to have the reverse of us. So this is us watching a game at 9:25 at night. For you, it's unfortunately still going to be an afternoon game for
you. I'm kind of synced in right now. You know, I just, I feel good. You know, I'm going to go home, go to sleep, and this is late for me. So it's because the
time again, thank you to the Malt House. Well, I only need to mention two words: lock in, and we're good to go. Normally, our socials are around the 6 p.m. games. So we've got the Bucks UK audience here live, and we're going to have some questions for you. If not, I'll keep asking questions. Okay.
Does anyone want to kick us off and ask a question?
I got a question.
Go on, there's Devin White in the front row. Yeah, show us your horsey.
We've chatted about it before on the podcast, but in the last 10 years, what's your favourite Bucks moment? Other than the Super Bowl, your favourite like play, your favourite Bucks moment?
My favourite Bucks moment, and it used to be, there was one, but recently I would have to say Ndamukong Suh, when he threw Aaron Rodgers to the ground. And the look on Aaron Rodgers, because I hate Aaron Rodgers. If I can say hate, I don't know if I'm in trouble. I won't try to, but Aaron Rodgers is one of my least favorite NFL players. So I know that him mm-hmm. and Indomitian Sue have an ongoing thing, but just to see him and having him as a Buccaneer was just incredible. I've really enjoyed it. And I do hashtag my 93 because that was my guy.
It's interesting with Sue that we went from he went from rogue to hero. You know, I think there's plenty of Buck centers under that in their time that didn't like playing.
I tell you that I like his approach to the game. He's very quiet. He's not braggadocious. And you know, you look at his Wall Street portfolios. He's amazing. He's a very intelligent guy. I think he just got a bad rap because of how he played. To be honest, when you go back in. In Detroit, you look at him in Miami, you look at him with the Rams, and you look at him with the Bucks. He's been very consistent about how he played, and I've been very happy that, you know, the Bucks were able to get him. Shout out to Jason Light. Appreciate him.
I guess the golden question is, should Sue be a Buccaneer in that?
He should have been. I would have re-signed him in a heartbeat. I really believe
that. Do you agree?
Yeah.
I believe there are things called intangibles. And I think that Indomitian Sue has intangibles, especially where the locker room is concerned. I feel like something's missed along that line with him not being there. And it's not something as far as physical talent, but I think it's more of a checkup from the neck up thing. And I believe that Indomitian Sue is a missing piece on this defensive line.
The other thing, he turns up every week and plays.
100%.
Where there's been the Iron Man. You haven't seen him all season.
Yeah. Iron Man, and I would have paid the money. I would have paid the money to keep Sue over Hicks, and I know that's probably a hot take, but it's my personal opinion. We just the best ability is availability, and Hicks has not been available. So again, I can't really speak on.
Okay, so anyone with the next question for Gene? Go on then, Tom.
Is next season starting quarterback already on the roster?
No.
No. Good question. No. Good question, no. Don.
I trust in Jason Light, and when you look at the level of talent that you have, such a steep drop-off from Tom Brady to number two, number three, whoever, there's such a steep drop-off, you have to go out and check the free agent market. Between now and then, it's hard to say who's going to become available, but I will say this. I believe that our quarterback or the Buccaneers quarterback next year, not on his team yet.
Having said that, we don't know who's going to be on the market. Mm-hmm. So if you did have to choose between, say, Gabbert or Trask or someone else, who would you roll the dice with?
Begrudgingly, I'd have to go with Blaine Gabbert. Yeah. I'm not a huge fan. I've never been a fan. I thought he was drafted too high, personally. But, you know, the fact that he's here, he knows the system. I think that you plug and play. I think the good thing about him is he doesn't make a lot of mistakes. So turnovers is not an issue. And that's the one thing, after what we've suffered with Jameis Winston, trying to put the game on his shoulder game after game after game, and that's just in his DNA, you don't want to go back to that. You want somebody who can manage the game, who can give you an opportunity to win in the fourth quarter, late in the game, somebody who can go out and move the ball down the field methodically. And I don't know. I just don't think Kyle Trask is there yet. We've seen him have a couple of plays, and this is no knock on him. I think he may improve a little bit more, but just from what I've seen right now, I just think that we're going to be checking the free agent market. I think Jason Light will be looking to see who's available. Lamar Jackson, we've seen what Lamar Jackson can do. I know a lot of people don't like him, but I like that he's consistent. He can throw the ball down the field, and he doesn't make a lot of mistakes. So he's definitely somebody that you keep in mind. And keep in mind this, too, just say keep in mind, but he doesn't have the weapons that Tom Brady has here in Tampa. You have a Chris Godwin. You have a Mike Evans. You've got a Cade Otton. You've got some of your other tools that you have here that you're able to use. I think you get the right coaching staff, and you get a good quarterback, and you're good to go.
This all presupposes no Brady next year, then.
I'm really not believing that Brady will be here next year. I think Miami, maybe. I don't know. But I guess the way that Tua's playing right now, even that's up in the air.
He's loaded.
Yes, absolutely.
Well,
yeah.
Yeah.
But I think
what scares
me and Adam were talking about this earlier, weren't we? Like, some of us, though, next week in Munich is going to be our first and probably our only chance to see Brady play as a Buccaneer, though.
Yeah.
Oh, don't jinx it. Don't jinx it. if anything happens.
This season, then, 3-5, what do you think you're going to be after 17 games?
Ooh, I hate predictions because I don't know. I don't. There's a lot of people coming back from injury right now. There is just so much that can happen. I mean, you have a stubborn offensive coordinator that refuses to make adjustments. There's so much right now that could change if they really wanted to. I would not even see, you know, I would not be surprised if Bruce Arians is in somebody's ear to help them kind of direct them where they need to go. But I don't expect Bruce Arians to come back. I'm just saying if they make changes, the Bucs can have the talent on both sides of the ball to make a run or, you know, to beat every single team that they face. I've said this from the beginning of the season, and I'll continue to say this. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers can win every single game on the schedule, but they just haven't done it. And, again, that's something that they have to figure out within the organization to get right, but they have the talent to do it. Regardless of the injuries they've seen outside of the offensive line, I'm serious. I believe that they have enough talent on this team to do well.
So do you feel like Byron's got a future in Tampa? Because as far as
is this, if you're asking me, or is
you personally? Because
no,
like, as far as I'm concerned,
I've
we needed to do was be 10% better on offense this year than we're 7-1 right now. That's how I see things. Because the only game we probably would have lost is the Chiefs game.
Yeah.
But the other games, it's been so close.
I'm going to give you an example. Remember when Atlanta played against Tampa when Dirk Koetter was the head coach? I don't know if you remember that game. Dirk Koetter, Mike Smith, they did not put together a good game. And Julio Jones stated that they just ran the same play and the Bucs weren't able to stop it. And you would think historically, if you look at this team, the Bucs have dialed up plays and made them work and then gone away from it. They've gone away from what's working successfully. I just, again, I can't wrap my head around why Tampa is where they are right now. So, to me, I think the fan base, I mean, the majority of the fan base would love to see somebody else in here that's able to make those adjustments. I mean, you saw that with Bruce Arians. Bruce Arians from the first half to the second half, able to make adjustments. We saw Tom Brady running the two-minute offense. We saw sugar huddles where they would go and move the ball down the field at times. So, to me, I just look at this team, and I think that's the one thing that they're lacking is that urgency. There's not a sense of urgency. And you've watched them, and you guys have all watched the Bucs here the first quarter, and you watch them go down the field, and they're happy with, you know, hey, let's play the field position game here. And I think that you should be going for the throat, going out to try to win, and we're just not seeing that. They're fine with giving the ball to the other team, letting the defense get out there, and you're doing a disservice to your defense as well.
What do you think, though, Johnny? Because if we do have a new offensive coordinator next year, that's a new QB, a new offensive coordinator, and then a new playbook.
I mean, I've not been the biggest fan of Byron since the James days. I think a lot of James's interceptions were down to Byron. I mean, for that game over here against Carolina, and knowing what James is, the gunslinger, if you're sending 4 or 5 guys downfield, where's anybody to be better?
Yeah.
Give him the option.
Yeah. Going back.
So you're saying about with changes, you feel that the team could do a lot better? Yeah?
Oh, absolutely.
So is there any of the coaching staff that you would take a risk on replacing right now?
Right now, just in case that didn't come over on the microphone, any of the coaching stuff you think you might want to change up right now?
Probably offensive coordinator. So getting back to your question as far as who I would like to see as far as personnel goes, let me tell you what I want. I want somebody that's going to be able to adjust. When a defense throws something at an offense, I want them to be able to adjust and take
advantage of the mismatches and play to the strengths of your players. We just haven't seen this. We're seeing Byron, who has a playbook, and this is what I'm going to run. I mean, I'm not saying this is something you guys have all seen this. I'm not just saying this to be saying this. He's got a playbook. This is what I'm going to run. This is what's scripted. Outside of what's scripted, this is what I'm going to run. And if the defense is giving you something different, a different look, you adjust to it and you counteract it. You have too many tools in the toolbox that you're not doing. They're just like ignoring that.
You got flexibility, you need to use it.
Exactly.
Two.
Yeah, it's become a bit of a standing joke now that we always know the first play will be a handoff up the backside of the guard in front of him. But what I want to ask is, we just talked about playing at left wing. There's one man in charge of this team.
Uh-huh.
And that man says nothing during the game. He stands there, just looks around. Where is his input into Byron Leffert saying, stop that and change it?
So, this is
an interesting question because, with Byron and you had Bruce Arians and you had Tom Brady, that was that marriage. If you'll notice, they had some struggles and hiccups at the beginning of 2020, but they came together and they figured out how to make it work and they played to their strengths. And I don't know what it is, but I feel like this offense regresses at the beginning of every season. And then they build up strength and they gain momentum going into the back end of the season. I don't know if you guys see that yourself.
Yeah, I
feel like this team, they need, if you have a great, like against the Rams, they lost to the potential Super Bowl champions at the end of the playoffs. They should have been able to build off of that, come into the next season and build off of that. But again, starting over from scratch. And I understand the injuries, but it's next man up. That's where you have to get in there. And you have to scheme based on the personnel that you have. And we just haven't seen it. I just don't see the flexibility and the ability to adjust and the ability to play based on your player's strengths. And going back to his question, that's what I would want from coaching staff. We saw this with Dirk Cutter. We've seen this movie before where to Greg Schiano, another example, coaches who said, we're going to run this my way. We're not going to make any adjustments. I think Bruce Arians, maybe the only coach that I can think of going back to Tony Dungy that was like, hey, we need to make some adjustments here. We need to fix this. We need to change this. And they went in and did it, and it worked. They were able to execute it. But honestly, I'm looking at this team right now, scratching my head, based on the level of talent that we have. You've got healthy Mike Evans. Chris Godwin coming back from injury. He's playing well. Russell Gage, when you can get him in and out. You've got players like Scotty Miller that you should be utilizing. Rashad White, a guy who I feel like is totally underutilized. And again, they're based in everything on the plays that they have dialed up. They're not looking at the defense and saying, you know what, I'm seeing weaknesses here. Let's exploit these weaknesses. They're not taking advantage of what the defense is giving. So again, I don't want to say I'm giving up, but I just don't see anything changing until those guys
are out. Bowles won't do anything.
Yeah. So that's
press conferences, everything, and emotional.
Yeah. But actually, how much of this is down to the offensive line, which is unrecognizable from what it was last year?
I would have to say you still have a Tom Brady who can get the ball out quickly. There are examples out there that I've seen where a defense is in a certain scheme, and the Bucs should be able to exploit it, but they choose not to. And I kind of go back to your offensive coordinator. You've got Tom Brady, who consummate professional, been in the league as long as he has. I'm sure he's seen every defense that you could kind of throw at him. This should be running a lot smoother than what it is, regardless of what you see on the offensive line. I can remember him playing for the New England Patriots, and the last year he was with the Patriots, and they struggled. But at the same time, they almost went to the playoffs. I mean, again, it's coaching. I didn't realize how much coaching meant until we went from Dirk Cutter to Bruce Arians, and now here we are with Todd Bowles.
So I think we've heavily sort of focused on the offense so far.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it is solely offense, or do you think the defense has got a lot
There's enough blame to go around for everybody from coaching to defense as well. I mean, you have players like Devin White, who is who he is. I mean, you guys can face this or however you feel about it. He's been in the league. I always thought he was going to make that next jump, but we haven't seen that next jump. We've seen a lot of inconsistency. There's another one who I really believe that I love Devin White. I love his game. I love his motor. But there are times where he just goes rogue and he doesn't play like you would expect him to play. So he's got it in him to do it, but it's just going to be up to him. You know, what do they say? Check up from the neck up. That's where it is. He's got the physical tools to do it. It's just going to be kind of, it remains to be seen if he'll be able to turn this around. I believe that Greg Almond may have inspired him. I think
film should aspire.
Yeah,
I think Greg's up for his Christmas card. I mean, there's Devin White jerseys out here. His horse is even here today.
That's right.
So he's a fan favorite.
Yeah, absolutely. I love, like I said, I'm not knocking him. I'm just, I feel like there are times where he's not consistent.
Tonight's
have
like a massive game. 8 tackles, 2 sacks.
Yeah.
Hopefully an interception.
I think something
that's a kind of not consistent.
I think something you said on the podcast is how important Lavonte David is to Devin White. Actually, and when they're not playing together, there's a massive drop-off in the performance, really, of both, aren't
there? 100%. We saw that last year while he was out with injury. This would have been an opportunity. I think Devin White could have wrote his own check last if he had played like we know he could play on a consistent basis with Lavonte David out. He could have wrote his own check. There would be no question. I think Devin White would have been signed by now had he had that stellar season that we knew he's capable of having.
So we've talked about Sue, we've talked about the linebackers. Mariana, you obviously talked about the defense as a whole. The bit that leaves then is the secondary.
Yeah.
And we're back to a couple of years ago where it's, you know, whoever's not got a bandage on, strap it up and out you go.
There you go. You know what? I think people have gotten spoiled by this Bucs team as a whole. I can remember going back to 2016, 2017, and you were scared. When you saw a wide receiver line up, you're like, oh, you got to do like this here just to kind of get through the play because you knew somebody was getting ready to get burned. And this has been kind of consistent going back to 2009. The Bucs have just not had that combination like we've seen. And then finally, you know, from 2020 to now, I've been very comfortable with what they put out there. I love what Todd Bowles has done with the scheme. They've given up a lot of big runs, but they haven't given a lot of big plays compared to what we've seen in the past decade. So I think that's there's somebody that they will continue to improve. And you know, we get some players that are injured back. You know, Antoine Winfield Jr., one of my favorite players on this team, getting somebody like him back, he is that quarterback on the defensive side of the ball. So, again, once they're healthy, I love the secondary. I'm good with the secondary.
What's Pete's going on with JTS?
So just for the microphone, Pete's saying JTS. What's up with him?
You know what? Again, you got to consider I mean, right up to now, I would say this is like his first full season. If you look at take a step back and look at the grand scheme of things, and you look at how much playing time he got last year with JPP still being here, and look at where he's at now, where he's more utilized in the game, I think it still remains to be seen because we haven't seen a full season of him where he's playing in his position. But I think that, you know, with injury to Shaq Barrett, I think you'll see them kind of work around to really get him involved. I expect his big jump next year, maybe a year after. But I think he'll continue to get better.
Do you think
I don't know. As a general manager, I don't know if we were even in the running for something like that. So I can't really speak on that. He would have been nice to have. But I think with the talent you've got here, I really believe that this defensive line can still do some things. Vita Vea, when you got Vita Vea double teamed and you've got some of these other players that are stepping up to make plays, next man up, they should be playing better than they are. But again, what you have to consider is the defense goes out and get a three and out, then your offense kicks the ball back to the opposing offense. You're not doing your defense any favors, and it's just gassy. It's got to be gassy. Exactly. So, you know, again, when you talk about clock management, offense goes out there three and out within like 2 minutes, 3 minutes. then the defense has to come back out there and they're not really rested. Again, I'm not making excuses. This is just, it is what it is.
I think the other thing is, with the injuries to the secondary, it's not the same players playing alongside each other. And I think Winfield's a classic example of sometimes trying too hard. Actually, do your job and everything else follows. But if you're too busy covering for the, you know, you've dropped a little bit deeper than you would, or a little bit shallower than you would, because you're trying to help Devin out, you're trying to help the cornerback out, you're then out of position.
It seems like a big problem we've had at the minute. Players not really knowing where they're meant to be.
If you look back the last two seasons, we've seen great communication between the defensive players. And, you know, we may start out kind of bumpy, but once they get that cohesion, it's great communication. We saw it last year where they needed it. And, you know, again, I think they can get to that point again.
Okay, next question.
Kieran, we're waiting for your special teams question.
We've done offense, we've done defense. Special teams. So I'm renowned for giving special teams a hard time. What would be your hot take on special teams, Pete?
Ryan Succop is the MVP. I've actually got a t-shirt that says I'm a Ryan Succop guy. Thumbs up. He's always been my guy. With Ryan Succop in Tampa, you kind of forgot that the Bucs had kicking problems for a long time. You don't even remember the last time. And some of these guys have gone on to have great careers, or you know, in other teams. But for the Bucs, that since Matt Bryan up until Ryan Succop, the Bucs have not had any kind of consistency as far as kicking. So it is great to have somebody like that, you know, on your team. You kind of forget about it.
So he's the vet. What about Kamada, the rookie?
I'm happy with him. I love the hang time. If you'll notice, when he's kicking the ball, it's not like Pinion was, where it's more of a straight trajectory. It's more of a, it's up. And this guy, when the ball's up in the air, I've done kick returns a couple times. And number one, you're thinking about, okay, who's coming? And number two, you're thinking about, what kind of protection do I have? Number three, you're thinking about, where's that ball? So when you've got the ball in the air that long, it gives you more time to overthink. And if you'll notice, when he's getting his kicks in, I mean, he's got time and he's not pressured. He's getting those kicks in, and those guys aren't doing a whole lot. And for him being a rookie, I am happy with what he's done so far. I think that here's another guy that will make the jump again as going into next season.
If anything, he's been out kicking the coverage, hasn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
It's more our return game that's the issue than the actual punt.
The return game.
Yeah. I mean, what are we going back to? Spurlock? Michael Spurlock or somebody like that? Where they just, the Bucks. The Bucks have not done well historically as far as kick returners.
It feels that way, but I think in the modern NFL, punt returns aren't exciting anymore, and kick returns aren't exciting anymore. I think we've all been on Darden's back, haven't we?
Yeah.
But I think, I haven't looked at it since, but when I looked at it a couple of weeks ago, he was something like fifth in the NFL for average punt return, which was something shocking, like 7 yards.
Darden always manages to beat the first man, which is the guy who likes to I mean, he might not make many yards, but it could be a lot worse.
There are times where he overthinks. If you'll watch him, there have been kickers, if you'll watch other teams, that when they get the ball, they know this is where I'm going. But when you're thinking about it, this gives the opposing team a chance to come down and set up and, you know, cover all these different holes and stuff. So I just, for him, I think it'll come to him.
Yeah.
I wouldn't put
the blame on Darden. It's more, he's never got the protection to gain space.
Yeah.
It always seems that they get beaten. He ends up in a bad position where he can't do anything. He gets the blame.
But if you watch him, sometimes he's thinking about it. Do I go here or do I go here? And in that time, you've given the opposing team time, the special teams come down and make plays.
Yeah.
But it's not just Darden. It's a league-wide thing. Mm-hmm. We protect the ball rather than return the kick.
Mm-hmm. Safety first.
So the question to you guys, I'm really curious. I don't know if you guys have watched the XFL, where they've done away with kicks. Start on 35 or start on 30, and away you go. You know, and you totally eliminated that.
I think what we have seen is you know, the kicking game's got that much harder. The onside kick seems to be the holy grail now.
Exactly.
It's almost not worth going at even though you have no choice.
Yeah.
Some of the other rules they've talked about is sort of something like 4th and 20
yeah.
from your own 30 or something like that.
Yeah.
To try and sort of create some excitement again.
Yeah.
Because the sport that we love in football is about that 20 seconds left and we can just get the onside kick and trying to get into field goal range.
Right.
But it just seems the stats now are just punts are hard, punt returns are hard, kicks are hard, onside kicks are impossible.
Yeah. And that's, I'm good with that. I mean, you've got to keeps the game in entertaining.
That special team's done to death. Yeah. Next question, anyone?
I got one question. I know you're wearing a white Gems jersey. Under the whole history of the Buccaneers, where would you rank Mike Evans right now?
Oh, we've been having that debate for a time.
Yeah, I know. We love Mike Evans.
He's one.
He's got to be up there.
He's one. I mean, what you have to look at is who he's had under center. I mean, going back to, or who's under center, going back to Johnny Manziel. And we saw what Johnny Manziel did. I think, to be honest, Mike Evans, as much as I love Mike Evans, I believe Johnny Manziel should take that Heisman and cut it in half and give him the other half of it, just because of just the way he's played. I mean, what was it, Caden Hound, Mike Glennon, Jameis Winston, Jameis Winston. I mean, he's had so many quarterbacks that he's had under center as a Buccaneer even. Let's not even talk about college. And what he's been able to accomplish at this point is just incredible. I've never seen anything like it. And I loved Kevin House. I loved, there have been some other wide receivers that have been with the Bucs, but I can't honestly think of anybody on the level of a Mike Evans.
What is it that within Mike Evans that you really, there's a particular characteristics or
his heart, his heart and his attitude towards the game. Here's a wide receiver that'll get out and block. Everybody hates the Saints. I'm more of I hate the Atlanta Falcons kind of guy. Well, that's just me personally. But just the fact that he would go in and try to light up a cornerback, trying to mess with his quarterback with Jameis Winston or Tom Brady, it didn't matter. This guy, he's a soldier. He's gone out and played with injuries. And just the fact that he's gone in and sacrificed part of his paycheck so that for the betterment of the team, what he does in the community, I mean, just as an overall, I know the community really doesn't count, but I count it just as the characteristics of him as a human being and what he does. Right, exactly. I mean, you can tell a lot about a person by how they treat people less fortunate than themselves, and he stands out to me just for what he does for the Bay Area. So I love the guy. I can't say anything bad about him.
I think my testament to Mike Evans would be the fact that Chris Godwin is as successful as he is, that they play together, that we've got two wide receiver ones.
Two number ones.
And there's no egos in the room.
Nope. You got to love that. And you do. Yeah.
Yeah. Next question. Go for it, Kai.
Coming back to the coaching, do you think that there would be any circumstances where they would bring
So would BA come back down from the sky?
That would, you know what?
In the booth, he's not dead.
It takes two. I think he's enjoying being away from coaching, to be honest. I just don't see where he would come back, to be honest. I think that, you know, what he's doing, he's trying to offer input for the current coaching staff. I just, you know, you either have it or you don't have it. And I love Todd Bowles as a defensive coordinator. You know, Byron Leftwich not so much, but again, I don't think he'll be able to really replace Bruce Arians. And again, I do want to shout out everybody who's at the game, the Bucs game, just because he will be brought into the Ring of Honor. So shout out to Bruce Arians, he's earned it. I mean, you can tell just the way this team is flowing right now. You can tell just how important Bruce Arians was to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
And that was a really quick decision to put him in the wrong Ring of Honor. Yeah. It was almost like a reflex.
You know what? They had to. I don't see any reason why you wouldn't have. You know, I mean, what he's done and what Tony Dungy has done, I understand a lot of people liked John Gruden. I was not personally, historically, I was not a fan. I feel like, you know, he knew his other, the other team's tendencies, and it kind of worked to his advantage. But I do believe what Tony Dungy did when he came into Tampa and took a team that was doing bad, turned them around, turned the community around, got everybody's buy-in. We saw the same thing with Bruce Arians, where this team was doing bad with multiple bad coaches, bad draft picks, and, you know, poor draft picks. And they turned this all around and put a team together that turns around and wins the Super Bowl. I mean, that speaks volumes about his character and who he is. So he's definitely deserving of being in the Ring of Honor, in my opinion.
Okay, next question.
Another one.
Go, Phil.
If you could take one player from another team and swap them with a player on our roster to improve our roster for the season,
Good question.
Easy to take Fournette out and put McCaffrey or whatever, we've still got our problems. Who would you swap?
Who would I swap? Ooh, that's a good question. I would say
past or present or just now. Current players.
I would probably say Aaron Donald.
I think we're gonna see that later, aren't we?
I think Aaron Donald and Vita Vea would be ridiculous.
The fact that you can have a defensive player even in the conversation for MVP in the modern NFL tells you how good Aaron Donald is.
And consistency as well.
Yeah, 100%.
Okay, who would yours be?
Oh, it'd be someone like, I think I'd improve our O-line to someone like Martin at the Cowboys, you know, guard, like you can plug in there.
Not sexy, but probably useful.
Exactly, I think we're struggling.
Swap culture?
Yeah.
Okay.
I just think that, you know, just with his presence on that defensive line, it would just be scary.
Yeah.
And who do you double team? You got to pick your poison. I think it would JTS would benefit from it. Carl Nassib, some of your other players would benefit from a player like Aaron Donald on his team.
We'll take care of him easy tonight, right?
Yeah.
Oh, easy.
The game's already happened, remember?
It was a great game. Go Bucks.
Shut out!
Next question.
I think tonight we focused on the how to improve the Bucks. What would be the one positive you take from this season?
So, yeah.
The one positive—it's
not all bad. I like the rookies.
I like the rookies on this team. I like there have been several players that I feel like that do have a future with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I love some of the players and you know, the players that have been able to stay healthy and on the field. You know, it's definitely Rashad White is a guy I really look forward to seeing next year. Jake Kamara. I look to see him improve next year. Just different players that, you know, the Bucs have drafted or brought in that are on a, you know, a longer term kind of deal, being able to come in and contribute next year, because next year's going to be a challenge. It'll be really interesting.
What do you see our biggest draft pick at the moment would be?
As in, so the best draft pick the Bucks have done recently?
So what
position would you be drafting in the first round next year?
Offensive line.
Yeah.
I would be building in the trenches. I would always stay in the trenches, just like the Ravens. Ravens always consistently stayed in the trenches, whether offensive line or defensive line. That would be my mindset. Because if you go back to 2003, the Bucks have been horrible. And horrible. I'm going to go up to Jason Light. I wouldn't even include him. I would say from Mark Dominic going back to Bruce Allen, the Bucks were horrible with both sides of the trenches. It just they didn't get it, and they didn't really have a direction, so it didn't work. And I've appreciated what Jason Light has tried to do on both sides of the ball, and that's what we need to continue to do. Is build in the trenches, because that's how games are won and lost.
And that's really clever financially, because the offset between having a draft pick O-lineman versus trying to go and find a stud O-lineman in free agency, that ties up so much cash that you haven't got anywhere else.
Yeah, absolutely. And then what do you do? You know, so to me, I think that's where it needs to be. I just, some of the picks I've kind of questioned, but you know, they panned out. I love Jason Light. I think he's probably one of the, I think he's the greatest general manager the Bucks have ever had. I was a huge Rich McKay fan, but when you compare bodies of work, yeah, I know that he brought in a whole bunch of Hall of Famers and they won a Super Bowl, but you look at the salary cap hell that they left, that he left the Buccaneers in, versus you have Jason Light, who goes out and wins a Super Bowl, then turns around and brings everybody back, and then turns around the next season and he's bringing in players that can consistently assist. I mean, he's really amazing at what he does, and he's maximized his abilities by doing that.
But we're going to have to pay for that next year, right? We've got a lot of dead cap next year, so is that not just the same situation?
I don't think it's that bad.
The cap goes up, you roll it forwards. True. It's the never-ever, isn't it?
Yeah, but they're not the normal. This isn't Mickey Loomis. I think that they will be in a position to make some good moves next year. I think this was the worst year this year with the cap compared to next year. So
you mentioned the rookies, the priority in the trenches. What are the other positives at the moment that we should think about?
yeah, that's special teams.
Special teams kicking, okay.
I don't really know. I think we just haven't really seen enough from the Bucks. I mean, just with what's happening with coaching and, injuries, you really haven't gotten a real sample size of what this Bucks team can really do. I mean, you look at Ali Marpet retired. You lose Ryan Jensen. Imagine what this offensive line would look like with a Ryan Jensen and his tenacity to help these younger players, to help some of these other players. It'd be amazing just to have him out there playing to the whistle, helping these guys mentally to, just to kind of get better. So I really believe that, with some of the injuries, these are key injuries, I think it's kind of hurt us a little bit. And honestly, we haven't really seen a sample size of what this team is when they're at full strength.
I mean, before we do the next question, I'll come to you. I'm going to add one, I think, off the field, the fans. So it's been really nice to come back. Well, no, but also the fans' Tampa side. The extra stand in the stadium makes such a difference to the noise and the capacity. We've got a waiting list for season tickets. I hope that carries on into the future. But the buzz around the bay about the Bucks again. When I first became a Bucks fan, you'd walk from one street to the next. You wouldn't see any shirts. You wouldn't see any hats. And you see those everywhere now.
Yeah. I can remember as a little kid, we had Bucks tickets in our wiper blades. We went to the store. People just they gave us free tickets. And so we went,
But, Tim, your question.
It's just, we're all being very picky of the Bucks tonight, but what's not going right, what's going wrong. I'm looking around the room here, and his friends we've had in the room here for 30 years, and we've been going out to watch the Bucks, and we've seen some goddamn awful
defense.
Say as it is to me. Goddamn awful defense. And you look at this, and we're picking on some minor points. We could be good, we could not be. This revel in the fact we've just won the Super Bowl in the last couple of years, and no matter what we say, we'll have Tom Brady, we'll still be in with a shout at the end of this year.
That's right.
That's
right.
Lee, you got a question.
We've all read that obviously Giselle's trying to seek custody of Gronk.
genuine question. If we get to around week 11 or 12, what do you think? Is there any opportunity?
So do we think Gronk might ever make a comeback?
I think it could happen. I mean, I didn't think Tom Brady was coming back.
Well, that's my, exactly.
Yeah, so, you just don't know. I would love to see this team turn things around and find their winning ways again. You never know. That definitely could happen. I keep hearing Odell Beckham Jr. I mean, just the fact that, but I think it comes back to play calling. I think it putting your best players in the position to win and do well. So, I don't know.
Okay, we've got time for a couple more questions and then we'll talk a bit about Munich.
I think
Ali's loving his time away from football.
I think he is. I think with the head injury like what he suffered, I don't see him coming back.
But it's nice that he's still been around the team. He still wants to be part of the team, you can tell that.
So do you guys think that Mike Evans will get 1,000 yards this year?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're going to feed Mike Evans, are they?
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's over 600 right now, so.
I think you're writing up what Tom Brady can do. Mm. I really do. I don't. This guy's a fighter.
He's amazing.
He's a fighter, and I think, you know, yeah, okay, well, we are there, but I think we'll come back and I think we'll make the playoffs.
I
honestly do.
Come on.
How many teams have you seen go, like the Eagles go galloping off to 8-0 and they just made the playoffs?
Yeah.
Preach, baby.
And how many more teams have just won the Super Bowl in the wild card? We all finish here.
Is that
nowhere
your question?
Tim,
let's just go back to Mike Evans and the 1,000 yards. What's your opinion on how the record stands now the game has gone to 17 games?
So the changes,
with the change.
Does it change it in your mind?
Not at all.
Because I agree.
I think and this is my thinking here. Mike Evans has no say-so in how the games change. This is the competition committee. This is the commissioner. This has nothing to do with him. All he has to do is go out there and play. And anybody that says differently, then I think you're foolish.
One thing you've got to remember, last year, he's looking on the 17th game, but he spent the first half of the season injured on one leg. So he still managed to do it.
Yeah. Again, and you look at what he's accomplished with the subpar quarterbacks that he's had through the majority of his career, and he's where he is.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's move on now. Talking, you're over here. It's something about a wedding, but mainly it's about the Bucks in Munich, obviously. International series games. Now, obviously, you've got a partisan crowd here. We know we quite like it when the Bucks come over to see us. But we know that means a game lost for the fans back at Tampa. Is the International Series a distraction or a necessity? Is it good? Is it bad?
You know what? I was in Edinburgh about, was it 2016? And I had Bucks jersey on. And this guy comes up to me. We're on the bus. We're going over to the castle. And we start talking about football. And to me, that means a lot. That people have embraced the NFL the way they have, and there are a lot of people that you wouldn't think, but they are. They're just all over the place, all over the world, that are embracing it. And I like the fact that this exposure, it does come here. When you consider the 17 games, I don't see a problem. They've added the other game, so you've got a game in Europe. I'm good with that. I really don't see an issue with it. So to me, I'm happy that more people will be exposed to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I think we have the coolest jerseys, coolest logo. I can't think of another team in the NFL. I mean, the Raiders, really? That stupid logo they've got. I mean, when you look at this, you got pirates. We're pirates. I mean, come on. We got a pirate ship in the stadium that shoots a cannon. Nobody comes close to this. But anyway, this really is exciting to be there. First time in history that the Bucks are playing in Germany. The NFL is in Germany, not NFL Europe, but a professional football game. And this is exciting to me, just being a part of that and, you know, being able to be around some of you guys too. And I better see you guys too. You better come and say hey.
So obviously we're hoping for a victory on the field in Germany. But for the Bucks and for the NFL, what do you think a victory off the field looks like in Germany?
I think this is exposure to the NFL and the speed of the game and, you know, just how things are played. Because I love rugby, but I still love the NFL. I love the scheming. I play chess, so I love the chess match between an offensive coordinator and a defensive coordinator. Love execution. It's just a lot of fun. So I think the dog loves it too.
Yes. I think you can hear
me. $4,000 question is, every time there's a game in Europe, when is an NFL franchise in your opinion going to be situated in?
So I guess firstly is, and then I guess when. Would you get NFL franchise singular or plural?
Yes. I can see the Jacksonville Jags coming over here. Shaheed Khan, he's got ties to London. I can see a team in London. I really could.
Do you think that'll be a good thing?
It's exposure to the. I think bottom line, it comes down to revenue for the NFL. As much as I want to be naive and say, oh, yeah, it's the fans, you can get more fans, but I think that's what it comes down to, is their bottom line. And, you know, the more exposure you have, the more tickets you sell, the more, you know, the more jerseys and hats and stuff you sell. But I like the fact that it's becoming an international thing where people recognize it, recognize a hat or recognize a jersey, and, you know, hey, you know, you're the Bucks or you're the Jags. I love it. So as much as I love the NFL, I'm happy with it personally as a fan, because it gives you an opportunity to go to a game in Munich or go to a game in London. And I think this will continue.
So you talked about the Jacksonville possibly as a team relocating. Do you think there's scope to expand the NFL? Some people worry about the dilution of the competitiveness or the talent. Yeah. But the easiest way to expand would be to have a European division, or more teams at least.
I would say moving franchises is the only way I can see it, because like you, you brought up a great point. You look at the NBA. When you look at the NBA before they started expanding, you had an elite group of players. I mean, even your bench players were better than some of the players that are starting right now. But once you expand that, you do kind of dilute the talent level. And, you know, that's scary when you think about it. Everybody talks about protect the shield, but, you know, you just don't know. I don't know how that would really work out.
I guess last of all then, on the field in Munich, we know you don't like predictions, so I'm not going to ask you for a score. But what things are we looking for in Munich?
You have to be able to stop the run, number one. You have to be able to make this team one-dimensional, make Geno Smith beat you with his legs. With his arms, excuse me, because I really believe that he's really stepped up. Shout out to Pete Carroll for what he's been able to do with a guy that's been recycled I don't know how many times. And just he finally found his fit, and, you know, it's working for him. But again, I believe the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have the level of talent to win this game. If you would have been talking to me at the beginning of the season, I'd have been like, oh, yeah, you know, they just need to go out and execute and they'll win this game. But, you know, from what we've seen, you know, these guys, I'm hoping the long time off is giving them a chance to look at themselves and say, okay, we need to do better.
Do we think the Bucks are going to win in Munich?
Yeah!
Well, we're all going to be there. Hopefully most of you are going to be there. Buck What You Heard's going to be there. And but unfortunately, the Morehouse won't be there. So come and see us at the Hofbrauhaus, because that's where we're going to be drinking instead. Thank you, Gene, so much.
Yes, really, I'm excited. Hofbrau.
Thank you guys all for joining in. And we have to join in. We always end with the Go Bucks. So 3, 2, 1.
Go Bucks!